Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Now, don't anybody worry, I'm not out jogging 20 miles. I only went 10, praise God. If you believe that, I got a bridge I'll sell you. Praise God. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Something about this just came up before me a few days ago, and I've been mulling it over in my mind, as somebody wrote one time, like a dog worrying over a bone. Amen. Just kind of began to think about it and mull it over in my mind. And I just really wondered, he found no place of repentance. He found no place of repentance. I want to preach a little bit tonight, and the Lord being my helper, I want to talk about finding repentance. Finding repentance. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the angels that are here tonight. Thank you for the saints of God. We sit in a high place tonight. We sit in a heavenly place tonight, and I give you thanks for that. I give you praise for it tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. He said, looking diligently. Looking diligently. And that word looking there means to oversee or to take the oversight. And mom and dad are not going to take the oversight of your walk with God. Amen. Now, they may assist you and guide you, but there's coming a day, young person, when you're going to get old enough and you're going to have to make your own decisions. Amen. And mama can't be there to help you, and daddy can't be there to help you. You've got to understand that there are some things that you need to have oversight of for yourself. Praise the Lord. And oversight of your prayer life, oversight of your commitment to God, oversight of the things that God has put in your heart that he wants you to do for him, because there's a will of God right here on the front two rows. Amen. There's a great work that God wants to do in these young people. Amen. And for the rest of us, I would say the same thing. And the Bible says that that he could not find repentance. That means to get or to obtain or to perceive. I want to focus on that a little bit tonight. He could not get it or obtain it. I want to focus more on he could not perceive it or see it. Amen. Because it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. So we know it is the will of God, but there is an enemy of the soul that's going to do anything in his power to see you and I lost forever. But we are not supposed to be in despair tonight, because there is one. Amen. There's only one. And he will do anything in his power to save you. Amen. The biggest problem is, and we preached about it, I believe, Wednesday night, where there was a hanging, and Haman was hung, but he was the one that hung himself. Amen. And the Lord will not bypass our power of choice, but he will help us if we will call on him. And the first one here, the devil, he is limited. Yes, he's the enemy of our soul, but he is limited. And the God that we serve tonight is unlimited. The devil tonight offers condemnation, but God offers forgiveness. Amen. The devil will tell you that you're nothing, and others, and God will tell you of his plan of blessing in your life. Amen. The devil will steal from you, but the Lord will give to you. Amen. The devil will destroy, but God heals and restores. Amen. The devil is a liar, but God cannot tell a lie. Amen. I hope I'm making a point here tonight. Because what we have here tonight is the Word of God. Tonight we have the Word of God. The Word of God is hidden. It is for a wise man or a wise woman that will find the Word of God. Wisdom is like a deep well, and a man of understanding will draw it out. God never made his word perfectly evident. Amen. He did not give us his word, and it would be open there for everyone to see, the wicked and the just. But he gave us his word so that we could find it. Amen. The treasure that's in the field is the word of God. The treasure that's in the field is salvation. Amen. There is a treasure that is hidden. The Bible talks about the hidden wisdom of God, that if Satan would have known it, he would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is hidden tonight, and what we must do is find it. Praise God. And we can hang ourselves, or we can be free from the guilt that will destroy us. And I want to talk about repentance a little bit here tonight, because there's some very exciting scriptures about wisdom and understanding that you can read, you can look at, you can meditate on, because wisdom and understanding is within our grasp. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom and understanding, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Somebody said amen. Amen. Wisdom is available to you. That was James chapter 1 and verse 5. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek. Everybody said seek. Come on, everybody said seek. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And these are very exciting to me, exciting scriptures, because it puts wisdom and understanding within my grasp. Amen. It puts it in a place where I can find it. I may not know where it is. I may not know what it is, but there is something about wisdom and understanding, that wisdom and understanding is the same as repentance. Amen. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He could not see any way that God could forgive him. He could not see that there was an open door for him, but he could not find repentance. In many places, we find situations where, in my mind, forgiveness seems to be partial, that God forgave people that did, I would say, very wicked things, and lifted them up and blessed them. And then there were others that seemingly didn't do quite as bad or sin quite as bad, and the Lord rejected them, and they died without God. I have to look at that tonight. I have to understand that a little bit, and I want to use some examples here, if you will indulge me for just a little bit. What must be done is we have to find repentance. Because oftentimes the devil will try to hide it from us, and our mind will try to hide it from us. But repentance is available. Amen. Judas Iscariot is an example of someone who could not find repentance. He could not see the possibility of his forgiveness. You know, and a lot of times we do that. We say, well, God can forgive this person, or God can forgive that person. We believe that the worst of sinner can come into the church and come to the altar and find forgiveness and receive the Holy Ghost, right? I believe that today. But what about the saint of God who has been faithful and working for God and doing the will of God, and all of a sudden something comes up? I'm telling you what, the forgiveness of God is just as strong and powerful for that individual as it is the rankest sinner in the world. Praise God. We've got to see it, though. And I want to try to help us to see it a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, when morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned. Amen. But it's more than just saying, I have sinned. There's another step, and it's called repentance. Amen. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast the pieces down, the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. Amen. And that's what we do. If we cannot find repentance, we're going to hang ourselves. And what we need is to see the opportunity for freedom from guilt, from freedom from the penalty of our sins. Amen. So that we can get up from that place of sin and we can walk with God and we can do well. Amen. He's not looking for a reason to send you to hell. He's looking for a reason to get you to heaven. And so he went out and he hung himself. I could look tonight at Esau. That's talking about Esau there in Hebrews chapter 12. And he was rejected. He was rejected because he could not find a place of repentance. Genesis 25 and verse 34, it says, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Everybody said despised. He despised it. Amen. And it says, for you know, in the scripture that we read in the beginning, for you know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He wasn't necessarily rejected because he sold his birthright. He was rejected, according to Hebrews 12, for he found no place of repentance. Amen. The Lord wanted to forgive him. The Lord wanted to bless him. And you know what? The Lord wants to bless everybody here tonight. I mean everybody here tonight and many that are not here tonight. The Lord wants to lift you up. The Lord wants to forgive you. The Lord wants to bless you. Amen. But he cannot forgive us if we cannot forgive ourselves. He can't. And he won't. And he cannot forgive us if we cannot forgive others. Amen. So we've got a big job ahead of us. We've got to forgive ourselves and we've got to forgive others. Amen. But if we do, we will be forgiven and have mercy and grace from God. You know, I love that word grace. Amen. I love that word mercy because I need it. Amen. And you need it. Praise God. And God forbid that we would ever hang ourselves based upon a lie. And our whole life would be summed up in the scripture that said about Judas, he purchased a field. Amen. He purchased a field. The money that he was trying to get, all he purchased with it was a field. Amen. He was trying to get something for himself, and all he ended up was a piece of ground. If all we end up in life with is a little piece of property, we have lost everything. Amen. What we've got to have is God in our lives. Somebody said amen. And I look at people in the scriptures that seemingly did some very terrible things. Things that are people that come to my mind would be David, would be Peter, the Apostle Peter, and certainly the Apostle Paul. And we could look at their lives tonight. I'm not going to take that time, but we could look at their lives tonight, and we could see that God forgave them. And in the case of David, he was revered as one of the greatest kings of Israel. And he committed murder. And he committed adultery. And a baby child died because of his sin. Amen. Some terrible things. The Apostle Peter actually denied that he knew Jesus Christ after saying, "I love you." Amen. And got so caught up in his flesh and fickle in his spirit that he did that. The Apostle Paul, here we have another case of a murderer. Amen. A man who didn't just kill people, he killed Christians. And he caused all kinds of trouble and problems against the Church of the Living God. But he wrote most of the New Testament. And David was revered as one of the greatest kings of Israel, and the Apostle Peter will have his name in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't seem fair, almost. It doesn't seem, there's got to be something here that when we look at it, we can say, oh, I see that, I understand that. And what it is being able to see repentance. It is being able to perceive the fact that I can be forgiven and I get up and I keep on going with God. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you all will help me here tonight. Esau despised, Judas despised. There's a difference here. And it was very dangerous to accept the thinking that says God can't forgive me, but Judas did that. Esau did that, and that word despise there. Let's see if I can find it here. It's somewhere. Well, let's just keep on moving. I'll find it before we get too far here. There it is. Despise, to disdain, or to think scornly against something, or to disdain. That means that when you look at something, you say, I really don't like that. Amen. Now, I don't understand how Judas could say, I don't like Jesus Christ. I don't like the things that he's doing. But there was something in his heart. He despised it. Esau despised his birthright. He had great blessings that were coming in his life, tremendous blessings, but he despised it. For a mere morsel of bread, amen, and a little bit of beans, and he gave away his birthright for that meager thing that was there. And so he disdained it. He disesteemed it. He looked at it and said, I don't want this. I don't care about this. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And I want to just say tonight, that's a very, very dangerous place to be in your life, where you can say, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the pastor preaches. I don't care what the church stands for. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if you'll just look carefully tonight, those that have come up with that idea have left us, amen, and they are wandering in the darkness of sin tonight, headed for the judgment seat of God, amen. But God knows the hearts of each and every one of us, and God knew the heart of the Apostle Peter. That man that was so boisterous at times, that man that had a personality that he could stick his foot in his mouth, and he did many times that we see. A man like David, who was a warrior, he had lots of blood upon his hands. And Paul, who had a great zeal for God, but he said it was without knowledge, and he went about to kill people that didn't believe like he did. They received a ministry. Amen. There's ministry here tonight. There's ministry on the front row here tonight. There's ministry on the second row here tonight. I look at everybody that's here tonight, and there is ministry here in this place. Amen. There is the power of healing in this place tonight. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to speak the word of faith here tonight. And they received that ministry. And they received the great blessings of God in their lives. And it was simply because they could perceive the opportunity of repentance. Amen. But Esau went away from God. Judas fell away from God. And we could use a lot of other scriptures to back this up. But they fell away from God because they despised. Amen. They despised this opportunity to come to God and say, I'm sorry, and to turn away from their sins. Praise the Lord. It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to walk around a little bit before church and speak in tongues a little bit. Well, praise the Lord. It's not enough just to hear the pastor preach a message every now and then. Amen. What we've got to have is an open mind to hear the wisdom of God and to let it give us revelation. What we have to have tonight is a revelation of repentance. Amen. A revelation of repentance because it's a very dangerous place to get to when you accept the thinking that says God can't forgive me. And I've seen it multiple times throughout my ministry. It is a lie from the pits of hell, amen, that seeks to destroy and to steal from you the ministry that God has for you. And I want to say tonight, everybody here has a ministry. You have a call of God upon your life to do something for God. Amen. I was talking to somebody just the other day, yesterday, in fact. I think it was yesterday, maybe it was Friday, and I said, well, they were a caretaker for someone and went about to help this other person, and I said, well, that's really wonderful that you're doing this. It's real selfless of you, and they said, that's why I'm here on this earth. Amen. That's my call, is to be here on this earth to help somebody else. And my estimation of that person came up quite a bit when I heard those words. Amen. You may not stand behind a pulpit and preach. Amen. You may not be a conference preacher, which I really don't know what that is. Amen. Or if anybody really is. Amen. We're just who we are. And we're not great because we can thrill everybody's heart. We're great because we're doing what God wants us to do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm really trying tonight to dig a well for somebody so you can drop the bucket down and get some wisdom out of it. Amen. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at some scripture here tonight. Let's let the Lord do some talking here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. And so John is talking to the people of his day, but he's talking to the people of our day today. Praise the Lord. He is. He's talking to us. And 1 John chapter 1, And verse 8, 9, and 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So right in the middle is the cream of the cookie here of wisdom. And on the top and the bottom are some other things. Amen. Three verses here. He said, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then he said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so verses 8 and 10 is for those who have despised the Spirit of grace. Amen. And they say, I have no sin. That's the spirit of our generation today. The reason they hate Jesus so much and the reason that the world is pushing against the church so much is because in reality they don't want anybody to tell them that they are in sin. They really don't want to even accept the concept of sin or the concept of God. But folks, we've got to preach about sin, amen, and the destructive force of sin. It will destroy you physically, and it will destroy you spiritually forever and ever and ever. Amen. And here is the words of the despisers. And they have said, we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, he says, and the truth is not in us. And so every one of us have sinned. Amen. Well, I sinned way back. You know what? David said, save me from presumptuous sins. Amen. Save me from the great sin, he said. Wash me and cleanse me. The prophet Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for I have seen the Lord of glory. Amen. When we look at Jesus, we see purity, but when we look at ourselves, we need to see in the right perspective. Amen. We can't say, well, I don't care about that. Well, you can say that, but it's going to lead you somewhere dark. Amen. It's going to lead you somewhere where you're not going to be blessed at all. Amen. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so if we say that we have no sin and we say that we have not sinned, then what we are doing is we are saying, God, you are a liar. Amen. And I don't even want to say that in preaching because I don't even want to get close to that. Amen. I don't ever want to get to the place where I would say, oh, that's just in the Bible. That really doesn't mean anything. But you know what we have tonight in the Bible? We have the Word of God. It's the Word of God tonight. And since it is the Word of God, it has to be true and right in every manner and aspect. Praise God. David said, I esteem all of thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Amen. And I hate every evil way or every imperfect and evil and sinful way. What we must do is see the opportunity of repentance. You say, well, I've been living for God a long time and now I've got to go back and repent again. Yes, join the rest of us. Well, I've been here so long, I've got elder status. Amen. Somebody the other night, I was in the service on Friday night, somebody come up and said, praise the Lord, Bishop. And I thought, where did you get that one? Amen. Who told you that I was a bishop? Amen. I'm not a bishop. I don't have my collar turned around backwards. Amen. I don't wear my shirt backwards. And I'm not going to be a bishop. I don't want to be a bishop. Amen. I just want to be a sower of the Word of God and do the will of God that He's called me to do. Amen. I may not have strength at time, but I'm going to do the will of God. I may not have excitement and enthusiasm all the time, but I'm going to do the work of God. And I expect the rest of you to do the same thing. And the Lord expects you to do the same thing. You've got a heavenly call upon your life. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you've got a heavenly call upon your life. And sometimes we abort the will of God because we don't go to God in repentance. And we allow those things that build up inside of us to hinder us and to keep us from fulfilling the will of God in our lives. Amen. I was given a little clip and I listened to it just the other day. I thought it was really powerful. And there was in the country of Scotland, has anybody ever seen this one? It's something that's floating around right now. Preacher sent it to me. And a couple of old ladies in Scotland, one of them was bent over so far that she couldn't hardly walk, and the other one was blind. And they went to church, and they started praying, and they said, God, we want revival. And they began to repent, and they began to call upon the Lord, and they got to the place where they got a hold of their preacher. And they said, preacher, we want to know, are you sold out to God? Are you truly, wholly living for God? They went to the pastor and asked him that. And the spirit of repentance came into that church. And revival, there. I don't know if it was apostolic, I don't know all the details. But many people were stirred and many people were touched because the people came to a genuine place of repentance. They saw it. They saw that it was not just for them, but it would open the floodgates where other people could be blessed as well. When we have sin, it's like shutting the door on the blessings of God. Amen. It's like closing off the lock on the dam and no water can come out. Amen. But repentance opens the door. It helps us to be humble so that God can flow through us. Well, these two ladies, they started this, and then there was someone that came along, and a lady, and she married this man out of this revival, and they had a son named Donald, amen, and his name was Fred, amen, Fred, and then they had a child, and the child's name was Donald, amen, and They were so excited about this little child, this little baby, Donald, that the Bible that was used in that revival, they gave to Donald. Amen. And today, that Bible sits in the Oval Office. Amen. Because it's a story of Donald Trump. I thought that was really cool. I'll send you a copy of that if you want it. Just let me know and I'll send it to you. And I think that's really awesome that a bent-over old woman and a blind woman could have an impact upon generations to come. Don't ever get to the place where you feel you're not capable of doing anything. Praise God. If anything, you can find a place of prayer and repentance. Amen. And sell out to God and let God do what He wants to do in your life. There's no telling down the road what will take place. Amen. Maybe I should have told Abigail and Hunter this before. They did a book report on the president. That would have been a really good one right there. And maybe somebody already did. I don't know. But there is greatness here tonight. There is greatness here tonight. So we have both sides of the cookie, and right in the middle of it, he says in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. So we have two things that are against us. One of them says, I have no sin, and the other one says that I have not sinned. Amen. They are against us. Praise God. We have not sinned, or I have no sin. They are against us. And the thing that will cause you to speak those words, two things, the devil and your flesh. The devil and your flesh. And probably the flesh will say it more than the devil will. Well, I'm not wrong. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me you can't preach to me, Pastor. Amen. Whatever you say, I'll say amen, but I'm just not going to do it. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, tonight there's only one spirit and attitude that will open the door to the blessings of God, and that is when we see or we find repentance. Amen. Where we begin to dig deep and we go down till we hit that well, that crystal clear water that's down there. Amen. Where we can find the freedom from thirst and the freedom from hunger. Amen. Where we can find the blessings of God in our lives. What we've got to do is perceive and see and get a hold of what repentance is all about. Praise God. Brother Reed quoted this one this morning, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. And then it goes on and says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. So we've got to lay aside every weight. Everybody said a weight. A weight. Some runners, when they practice and they prepare, they put weights around their ankles. And they run with weights upon them. They're not going to run that race with weights on their ankles, but they do that in preparation. We cannot run this race with weights upon us. And a weight is not a sin. Look at it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It's so easy to do something that you say, I wished I'd have not done that. But then again, we get to the place sometimes where we put weights upon ourselves. One of the preachers that was there on Friday night in the service there, he come up and shook my hand. I didn't recognize him. And he had lost 80 pounds or 86 pounds, 87 pounds, something like that. I said, brother, that's 2 bales of hay. That's 2 bales of hay. Strap those on you and walk around. He said, I'm off all of my medication. He said, I don't have any medication. All my blood sugar levels are right. And he said, I feel great. Praise God. You know why you feel great? Because you're not carrying all that weight around anymore. And I'm looking around here tonight, and I'm not preaching to anybody individually, all right? Dear God, I can get myself in a load of trouble I'll never get out of. Praise God. But I'm telling you, the weights, he said it, and I guess he was willing to take the criticism as well. And he said, lay aside every weight. I got to get this off of my shoulder. I've got to get this out of my life. Amen. If you know that you need to have a prayer life, amen, and it would be good to spend 15, 30, 45, an hour of prayer a day and talking to God, but you've got that weight, amen, that's strapped on your belt. And instead of spending time in prayer, we spend time with the internet. Amen. You know what that becomes? It becomes a weight. I'm not against looking on the phone. I do it. Amen. I'm not against the internet. I do it. Amen. But I'm trying to be careful, and I am careful where I go and what I look at. Amen. Because it's very important that I keep my mind pure and holy before God. But we've got to lay aside some weights. Church, we got to lay aside some weights. You know why we come so tired sometimes? Because we're carrying weights around on us. I've really considered having a 7-day fast. Amen. and put your cell phone up and fast your video games, your internet, except for work. I understand all that. And lay it down and don't pick it up for a whole week and see how much of a nervousness you're going to get inside of you. We went on a 7-day fast, a regular fast, in another church where I pastored, and one of the ladies drank coffee. She drank several pots of coffee every day. And when she stopped it, she got this tremendous headache, and it's simply because the body couldn't handle that situation there. Got to have that caffeine and everything else that goes with it. Praise God. But I think that's what we need to do. And maybe somebody just needs to do that on your own and say, I've got to lay aside this weight. Praise God. I've got to lay aside this weight. I've got to lay this thing down that is slowing me down, because Heartbreak Hill's on its way to me. Amen. I didn't know that it was a series of hills. I thought it was just one hill. Amen. But, you know, when you're running in a race, you can't do it with weights upon you. Amen. And the sin. Everybody said the sin. Sin. Now, sin is even more weightier than weights. Amen. Sin is very, very heavy. Gold is very heavy. Amen. But sin is heavier than gold. There are other elements that are very, very heavy and very dense. But sin is very heavy. In fact, the scripture says that the earth will reel and rock because the sin or the iniquity upon the earth is heavy upon it. It will literally throw us out of an equilibrium, and the earth will reel and rock. It will get out of its cycle because of the weight of sin. You tell a scientist that, and they'll look at you like you're crazy. But sin is a very, very heavy thing. We've got to lay it off of us. We've got to lay it aside. Amen. Well, praise God. Because it besets us. Amen. There's only one way that I know to lay aside some things is through repentance. I'm not jumping and running tonight, but don't worry about that. You aren't either. Amen. Praise God. Let us lay it aside. It means to put it away, to cast it off, to put it away, to lay apart. Amen. And let us run, or it means to run or to walk hastily. If you can't run, just walk hastily. Praise God. Paul said to Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Amen. Somebody needs this tonight. Amen. Praise God. I really considered not preaching this tonight, but I said, God, you've given this to me, and I'm going to preach it. Amen. Paul, you've sinned greatly. You're a murderer. There's blood upon your hands. Amen. But Paul was able to come to a place where he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I know that you're a forgiving God. David, my hero, said that his mercy endures forever, but his anger endureth for but a moment. I've got an opportunity here. I'm going to fall down before you, and I'm going to genuinely repent. David said, purge me with hyssop. Put in me a new heart and a new spirit, O God. And hyssop was a brush, not a brush like we, it's brush, it's a stick with all this brush, and they would beat the clothes with that. And they would beat out the stains in the clothes with hyssop. It was a cleansing thing. And David literally said, God, if you've got to beat me, amen. God, if you've got to beat it out of me, beat it out of me, because I want to be right with you. I want to get to that living water, that place where victory comes in my life. He saw the opportunity. But if you're here tonight and you don't feel like God loves you, this message is for you tonight. If you feel like you've done some things that God will not forgive, this is for you tonight. Because you can be set free from the weights of doubt. You can be set free from the weights of unbelief. Amen. When you get a revelation and understanding of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't get the attitude that it is that repentance is something that you can just repent of and then go back out and do it again. But it some of the things that we do, they haunt us the rest of our lives. And it did with the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, he said, I am the least of the apostles and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I haven't forgotten the screams of those people as we cut their heads off. I cannot forget the children that were weeping as we killed Daddy and killed Mama and then carried them away into captivity. I'll never forget the things that I did. But I'll tell you what, you'll not read anywhere where the Apostle Paul went around preaching and kind of bragging about what he used to do. He never did that. I remember one time, it's been many, many years ago, at a camp meeting out on the East Coast, and one of the so-called ministers got up and he began to talk about the life that he lived, and he went into detail, and it was awful. It was horrible. The things that he talked about in front of everybody, in front of God, and it wasn't long after that he was backslid and not living for God. You know why? Because he never found repentance in his life. Never saw what real repentance was all about, but just bragging about their sin. Hey, I'll tell you, there's things I've done none of you will ever know. Amen. And you know that I've preached this in the past. I never told my wife that passed away. I never told her of some of the things that I used to do. I have not told my wife, Sister Worst, tonight, of things that I used to do. You know why? I'm ashamed of what I did. I'm ashamed of what I did. Are you ashamed of what you did and the life that you used to live? You're in a great place tonight because God can use you. God can use you. Amen. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Amen. You can act the part and look the part, but that doesn't mean that you are the part. Praise God. Ephesians 3 and 8, he said unto me, who am the least of the least of all saints. I preached on this here a while back. Is this grace given? Thank God for grace. What a beautiful sound it is. That's what I need. Is that what you need tonight? Amen. I need the grace of God. I need a right spirit. I need to have it right in my heart. He said that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, he said, when I get up and preach, I look out at these people, and these people have not done what I've done. They haven't murdered people. They haven't persecuted the church. But they're here because they love God. They're struggling in their own areas, but they love God and they're here. And I'm sure every time he got up to preach, he didn't walk up, you know, with his coat buttoned and acting like he was a great apostle. He was very humble, and there was that affliction that was upon him as well. And every time that the apostle did anything, it was an understanding that it was the grace of God that was helping him to do it. Amen. There's greatness here tonight. There's greatness in you tonight. Amen. God just wants us to see the opportunity or the blessing of repentance. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness. This is the same Ephesians chapter 3 where he said, I'm the least of all the saints, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Amen. And you can get that message. I preached it here a while back. Having boldness and confidence when you feel like you're the least. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road. There's forgiveness here tonight. There's complete forgiveness here tonight. There's everlasting forgiveness here tonight. Maybe you don't need it, but I'm telling you, you're going to need it at some point in your life. There's ministry, there's healing, there's victory, there's everything that God has for your life. Amen. And you're going to have to ask yourself, at what point in my life do I lay my sins down and move on? Praise God. I'm just preaching what I feel like the Lord gave me. But there are times that we say, well, I did this and this and this. You may not tell anybody else, but you mull it over in your mind, and it keeps coming back. Well, God can't use me because I did this. God can't use me because I did that. I'm no good because I said this or I did that. Hey, I want to ask you, at what point in time in your life are you going to lay those things down and accept and see that God wants to forgive you completely, totally, of all of those things? And so you can get up out of that place and shake off those weights, amen, and say, God, what do you want me to do? And go to God in boldness, stand in the pulpit and preach with boldness, amen, and preach against sin. And folks could say, well, you're a sinner too. Hey, listen, I'm telling you what, I'm a forgiven sinner here tonight. Amen. I'm not a sinner, I'm a forgiven sinner tonight, and there's a big difference in that. Praise God. Well, somebody ought to say praise the Lord. And the point that you lay it down and you move on is when you find repentance. Esau couldn't find it. Judas couldn't find it. But David could find it. And look at what happened to him. 1 Kings 15 and 4. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 15 and 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, everybody said for David's sake. For David's sake. God had a high estimation of David. When the word David was spoken, the Lord got a smile on his face. The mercies of David, for David's sake, did the Lord, his God, give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, talk to Uriah's mom and dad about that. Talk to Bathsheba's mom and dad, cousins and uncles, all of the family that knew what happened and the terrible, terrible disgrace and the sin and all of that that had taken place. It was ugly. It was not beautiful. But here we have the word of God that said David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. It almost doesn't seem fair, does it? It almost seems like it's not fair. But you know what? It's really not fair. It's not fair that God forgave me. Praise the Lord. It's not fair that Jesus went to Calvary. It's not fair. He hurt because of me. He died because of me. Amen. And what we've got to do is perceive and see repentance. Isaiah 55 and 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This is Isaiah preaching. He said, even the sure mercies of David. And so it was not just in David's life, but it was generations later that God said, I'm going to bless you because of David. Amen. Jesus Christ came out of the lineage of David. Praise God. And it was because of the sure mercies of David. Everybody said sure mercies. Sure mercies. Acts 13 and 4, and I'm going to finish with this scripture here tonight. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. That's in the book of Acts. And he's preaching about Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us. You know why he said that? Is because that there was a man named David that could perceive repentance. Amen. Saul, the king, the first king of Israel, let's stand together tonight. The first king of Israel, Saul, when he was confronted by the prophet, he said, oh no, I've done the will of God. I've obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Well, what about the sheep and the goats and the cattle that I hear? Oh, that. Well, we brought that back to serve God and to sacrifice unto God. Turned it all around, wouldn't admit anything. And finally, the prophet said, you want to hear the word of the Lord? Yeah, I want to hear the word of the Lord. God has rejected you. God has rejected you, and he's going to raise up somebody else. And the words that finally came out of his mouth was, I have sinned. But he was rejected, and he ended up in the witch's house, conjuring up the dead to try to get an answer from God. And he died in battle, and they hung his body and his armor and everything in the house of their God. He became a trophy of hell. But here was David, who committed murder and adultery, and a little child died because of it. And there was much trouble afterwards, and many people died because of this situation. And the prophet came to him and said, David, I want you to judge something. He said, yeah, I'll judge it. He was ready to judge somebody else. But in judging somebody else, he judged himself. He said, there's a man that had a friend that came from a long ways off, and he was going to have a party. And he had all these sheep and all these lambs. Then there's another man over here. He had one lamb, a little poor man. He had one lamb. And instead of taking from his flock, he went over here and he took the lamb, the one lamb, loved it like it was his own child. Now, I don't understand that, but he did. He cared about that little lamb. You know the story tonight. And he said he killed the man and he feasted on that lamb. And the wrath of David rose up and he said, the man that did this shall surely die. And he shall pay fourfold what he took away. And the prophet said, you are the man. You are the man. And they probably just looked at each other, their eyes locked onto each other. You know, the eye is the gateway to the soul. You can tell an awful lot about people when you just look into their eyes. Just look into their eyes for just a little bit and you'll be able to see some things. Their eyes locked in with each other. And the first words out of David's mouth was, I have sinned. And then you can read in the book of Psalms where David repented before the Lord. You know who wrote those Psalms? David did. David did. You talk about repentance. You talk about repentance. You've murdered someone. You committed adultery. And the baby has died, and many people have died. Lots of people are hurt by this. And you're writing a song about it, of repentance, and publishing it in a book so that future generations can see what they should not do. That's repentance right there. And so God just looked at him and said, wow, what a guy. I love this man, David. And I'm going to bless generation after generation after generation for David's sake. Can we just come tonight? Let's all just stand at the altar. We're not going to come tonight and find you know, we're not going to come up here and be weeping and wailing and all that. The Bible talks about your prayer closet. Because you can come to the altar and you can go through the motions and it looks right and it sounds right. But I'm telling you tonight, when you go home and you're in the privacy of your own room or you're in your car driving down the road on your way to work, you need to communicate with God and you need to see the opportunity of repentance. Amen. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, I die daily. Amen. I die daily. Oh, well, I don't need that. Yes, you need that. I need that. Everybody here needs that so that we can stay close to God and have the right spirit and attitude about what we're doing here tonight. Amen. Amen. I know it's a little bit different, but that's all right. I really feel this from the Lord tonight. And if you don't get a hold of this thing of repentance, and I don't have time to go into it, we were in Bible study Thursday night, we talked about repentance and all the different aspects of repentance. It's a very powerful principle. I'm not going to go through all of that tonight, but repentance is turning away. Amen. Turning away. It actually means a change of your life. Praise God. You can come to church and speak in tongues, but that doesn't mean that you've repented. It doesn't mean that you've turned away. When you turn away, that's more spiritual than speaking in tongues, in my estimation. Praise God. Once you get the Holy Ghost, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. It's the life that you live. Praise God. It's the people you hang around. It's the things you do when nobody knows what you're doing. Amen. That's the measure right there of your walk with God and your love for God. Well, Pastor, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and it really doesn't matter. I'll say amen. I'll nod my head, but I'm just not going to do it. Well, God bless you. I hope that the path before you is well, but I'm afraid tonight that it won't be well. Amen. It won't go well because there's no repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist said, repent, amen, or you're going to perish. We've got to come to a place of genuine repentance in our lives, or we're simply just not going to make it. Amen. I hope that's not too blunt tonight, but that's the fact of the matter. Amen. Let's pray together right now. Just pray for yourself tonight. Amen. And just ask the Lord to open your heart, give you a revelation tonight to see repentance. It's available to me. I can do this. I can live for God because I have opportunity of the grace of God in my life. Come on, somebody. Lift your voice tonight. Touch me, Jesus. Touch me with your spirit. Put a new heart, put a new mind, put a new spirit within me. Help me to know the joy of your salvation. Put it down deep in the church, Lord, that the floodgates would be opened and revival could take place among us. And in Jesus' name we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder if it's appropriate. And let's pray now for one another. Because we need one another's help. Praise God. Let's pray. Pray for those that are not here tonight. Let's pray for Brother Troy. He's not here tonight. Amen. God is able. God is able. Let's pray for these that are sick tonight. God is able. Hallelujah. He'll move through those that have repented, through those that have committed their lives wholly and completely unto God. Amen. While we're praying tonight, if you need healing in your body, come and let's pray. Come and let's pray together tonight. God is able. God is able. God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Open the windows of heaven upon us, God. Touch us with your mighty presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah.